Okay. All right, listen. Stories like this. I'm really, as I get more involved in some of the things that are going on in the world outside, come to the conclusion that there's a serious problem with passion. Now, the problem with passion is really a flip side. Like two sides of a coin. Everybody has passion for something. And I guess the passion is in the heart. And I guess the heart is composed of two chambers. You know, biology tells us there are four chambers, but in reality there's two chambers. There's levovecho, there's the Yetzer Tov, and the Yetzer Hara. As I'll say, there's two parts of the heart. There's two chambers. And that's where the seat of passion is. And what happens with passion is, if you don't exercise the passion in one way, then it pulls completely in the other way. If there's passion in both ways, so then there's a tug of war. You win some, you lose some. El Molei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oizro Eino Yocholoi. It says the Yetzer Hara wins every day. If not, the fact that Hashem helps him. But if a person's fighting the battle, Hashem will help him. But if a person's not fighting the battle, then there's nothing to help. Help means you're fighting, and I help you. Oizer, that's the Goynes Medayek, the Loshon Oizer, Melech Oizer. Oizer means you're doing your Hishtadlus, and he's helping you. Moshiach means he's saving you even without doing anything. Mogen, he's protecting you even if you do the opposite. But Kodesh Baruch Hu Oizer means he's helping you. So if you're fighting the battle, he'll help you. But we have to fight the battle, because there's a battle, there's a pull. And in the Yetzer Hara pulls in one direction, passions for certain things, and the Yetzer Tov pulls passions for other things. So if we fight the battle, Hashem helps us. But the problem is that sometimes we don't even know how to fight the battle. We're not fighting the battle. We gave up on the battle. We think that the Yetzer Hara won, or we let the Yetzer Hara win, or we think he's going to win anyway, or we have no strength, or we're too lazy, we're too tired, we're too overwhelmed, we're too whatever it is. But there's a lack of passion in the right direction. Now, we're talking a lot about this and what it really means. In the ultimate definition, I think it has to do with certain higher spiritual pursuits. But on a very simple definition, I think there's somewhat of an equation between passion and a sense of privilege. We have passion for privileges. Privileges are one of the things that attract us. You know, if you're in prison and you earn some privileges, you get very excited about it. There's nothing much to get excited about in prison, but I got a privilege. You know, they let me out for 2 days. They let me get some special food sent in. Privileges, you know, I get an extra pack of cigarettes. That's a privilege. You know, things like that. Privileges do evoke a certain amount of. Look at that, look at the just smile that evoked. Yeah, privileges do evoke a certain amount of passion. So it's very important that we feel privileged. And I'd like to talk a little bit now just about the privilege that we have. We have two very special privileges. One is we have a privilege to have been created B'Tselem Elokim. What a privilege. We take it for granted. I'm created in the image of Hashem. Well, Hashem doesn't have an image, therefore I'm created in His image. I don't know what that means, so let's go on to the next discussion. But no, created with Tzelem Elokim. We're given midos, we have seichel, we have fine attributes of character that could be elevated almost to the level of godliness itself. I've mentioned here many times the shmuz that I heard from the Rosh Yeshiva, and I heard the same shmuz from Chaim Shmulevitz. It's on Kedeshim Tiyu. There's Chazal says a Sifri that says, Kedeshim Tiyu, Yochel Kamoini. You might think what the Torah says, you should be holy, which means be above, beyond everything else. Kodesh means mufresh, beyond all the pchisus of this world, all the pettiness of this world. Yochel Kamoini, you might think that you should be just like me, Talmud Leimer, and Yeshem Elokeichem. Not quite. What human being could have a Havamina that when the Torah says Kedoshim Tiyu, that it expects me to be mamish on the level of Kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, except that there's a special posuk that says, no, not quite. means the human being, the Tzelem Elokim, has godless, has such godless, has infinite godless. So that's a privilege. That's one privilege. There's another privilege that we have. And, well, actually, excuse me, there are three privileges we have. Then the second privilege we have is Bonim Atem LaShem Elokeichem. We have a special status with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the status of his children. He's our father, we're his children. Bonim Atem LaShem Elokeichem, a very special relationship that we have, besides just the privilege of having been created in his image, but he looks at us like his children. It's personal. A ben is one beloved to the father. A father and a son relationship is one of deep-rooted, tivistical love. It's the father's love to a child can't even be uprooted. It's beteva, it's a universal love. There's nothing that we can even do to uproot it. That's the second privilege. Now we have a third privilege. The third privilege is that we're b'nei Torah. You know what it means not only to be bonim l'Hashem Elokeichem, which is all Jews, but a special, special, select few of B'nai Torah, that they look at the Torah itself as their father, that they are themselves ke'ilu bonim to the Torah. Their relationship with the Torah is so intimate, is so connected, is so deeply loving and bonded, that it's ke'ilu B'nai Torah. And these are privileges that hopefully we all share. The problem with these three privileges, we either take them for granted, or we don't really appreciate what they are in the first place. And the reason if we don't appreciate what they are is we probably don't spend time so much time thinking about it. Maybe we haven't read enough, studied enough, learned enough, certainly not internalized enough the messages that we find in Chazal. If we were to think about what it means to be created, the Tzelem Elokim, Mahu Rachum Afato. Mahu Chanun Afato. Mahu Erech Apayim Afato Erech Apayim. V'holachto bidrocho v'dovakto boy. Such concepts. Being just like Hashem. He's Racham, so you should be Racham. He's Chanun, you should be Chanun. All right, it's not real Racham or Chanun. The Rambam's Loshen is Mahu Nikro Racham, Mahu Nikro Chanun. We understand it only in human terms, but I'm expected to be godly. Givalt. What a privilege. What it means to have been created like that. And then, of course, Bonim. And then, of course, B'nai Torah. It's like from that, the Gemara says that they said, Ra'isi B'nai Aliyah ve'umu'otim heim. There's very few B'nai Aliyah. B'nai Aliyah is the B'nai Torah. Those are the people that have a special, 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 special status. Those that study the Torah, that those that connect with the Torah, those that are umul b'Torah. And all of these things, so we don't think about it too much. We take it for granted. We mumble Avo Rabba. We mumble Birchasat Torah. Tzelem Elokim. All right, everybody with Tzelem Elokim. Look at the way Tzelem Elokim act these days. You know, it's so we continue the same way. We don't take it seriously. I think that we lack privilege. If we had a sense of how privileged we are, I think that the passion for what we do would be much greater. And therefore, I wanted to talk about some methods of possibly developing this sense of appreciation of the unique privilege. You know, we have been we've been entrusted with a body, the neshama, the person, the essence of a person is a neshama, and the body has been given to him to house that special, holy, lofty neshama. The neshama is in itself, even beyond everything we spoke about, it's a chelek elika mimal. It's mamish vayikpach ba'apov nishmas chayim. Is the pshat, that's a chelek of Hashem. It's a, so whatever that means, again, we're talking human terms. We don't understand these things in the ultimate divine and certainly mystical terms. That's the Tzelem Elokim, more than the Tzelem Elokim, it's the Chelek Elokim Mimal. But we have a body that houses it. And the body was given us, let's say, the Neshama is eternal, the body is temporal. It lasts, you may say, Shuvim Shona, Shmoinim Shona, whatever it is, maybe Tishim Shona, it should be Akbeyav Esrim Shona. But after a while, you know, it goes the way of how do you call it? It eats the dust like everybody else. There's no exemptions to that that rule. But it's a special privilege to be able to have a body which can perform so many mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are done with a body. We keep Shabbos with our body. We eat food kosher with our body. We eat matzah with our body. We daven with our body. We learn with our. This is, and it's a privilege to have been given this goof to house that neshama, and together to be able to be motivated and uplifted and capable of such a level of performance and connection with Hashem and performance of mitzvahs and getting so much schar for mitzvahs and elevating ourselves through the mitzvahs and even elevating the neshama and elevating ourselves to higher levels of perfection. These are all part of our privileges. One of the ways that we have to appreciate something is by showing respect. The inyan of respect, we find, is all to develop a deeper appreciation. The Sefer HaChinuch, I don't want to, you know, to read the number of things, but when he talks about all the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan he speaks about, and all of the Kalim and everything else, and he speaks about L'Hagdil Kovod HaBayis, that this is the Beis Hashem. This is the place of Hashoras HaShchinah. And all of the beauty in the Beis HaMikdash was even more than in the Mishkan. The first Beis HaMikdash was not Shaykh what it had there. And all of this gold and silver and precious whatever, the gdula, the grandeur of that bias was all to be able to appreciate the Mokum Hashoras HaShchina, to appreciate the presence of the one who dwells therein. This is where also the mikdash v'shochanti b'seichem. So if it's a mikdash of Hashem, and if we want to appreciate Hashem, and want to appreciate the privilege and the message and the benefits that we have from here, then it has to be mechubed. It has to be beautiful. It has to be glorious. It has to be mind-boggling, the beauty, the physical beauty, overwhelming us with such a sense of status, with such a sense of gdula, with such a sense of privilege to be able to be here in this close proximity to the Shekhinah. And the same thing, the cover that we give for a Torah, a Sefer Torah, we stand up and the Sefer Torah is brought into our midst. It's also because the kovod that we're giving, the Torah doesn't need our kovod, and Kodesh Baruch Hu certainly doesn't need our kovod, but we appreciate what we have, we appreciate the privilege, we appreciate the gift, we appreciate the unique opportunity that we have to have the Torah Hashem, the directive of life, the manual how to live our lives. We have this, and the way to appreciate it more is to show that respect. I want to focus on something that our society has destroyed, and that is the appreciation of ourselves. Again, like I always, it's not really fair because it predates Darwin. But just for modern times, to go back to Darwin, you know, how much appreciation can you have for Atzelem Elokim if you think that he's just one big accident? And that's the mood in society today. There's no appreciation. There's no appreciation. There's no COVID. There's no sense of respect. There's no sense of giving respect. There's no sense of self-respect. There's no sense of any chashivus because, you know, we're all just here by accident, passing the time until such time as we can go back to where we came from. And Mimela, it's life has become cheap. Taking lives, abusing people's feelings, abusing people's money, abusing people's bodies, abusing people's souls. Nothing wrong, because nothing is choshuv. This, the whole system is so. Truth? No. Truth, why? Politics? It's all about lies. That's what it's built on. And it's taken for granted. Of course. Of course politicians lie. what else would you expect? Salesmen. Of course salesmen lie. Because there's no self-respect. You know, a mesachik bekuvia, people who gamble, that if they gamble by profession especially, that their psul edus, it seems, comes from the fact that they have no respect for themselves. That they don't. I'm not. Eino oisik bi yeshiva shaloylam. So what if I'm eino oisik b'yeshuva shel oilam? So what? So that's what it says about the besachke b'kuvya. They're not oisik b'yeshuva. I'm not dealing with civilizing the world. I'm not doing constructive things in the world. What's so wrong? If I don't do constructive things, I don't have respect for myself. If I don't have respect for myself, I can't be trusted for truth or anything else. Because everything, all honesty, all integrity, all midas tovus, all commitments, all consistency, all responsibility, all trustworthiness, everything stems from a sense of, I have respect for myself. A self-respecting person like me could not lie, could not cheat, could not steal, could not abuse somebody else, could not do anything that's inappropriate, because it wouldn't be congruent with my self-respect. It wouldn't fit together with my. It's contrary. It's contradictory to my sense of self-respect.
Yeah, but everyone and, stumbles.
So. Yes, everyone stumbles.
So
but you know,
it's going to be self-respect versus honesty, right? So
No. See, okay. That is a very profound question. But let me tell you what I believe is the answer to that question. You see, it's a mistake to say that when a human being stumbles, that he undermines his self-respect. When a human being stumbles, he has a Yetzer Hara. He has given in to the Yetzer Hara. He's nichnas boy chazal say ruach shtus. He did something. It's the atzas hayetzer to allow the stumbling, to reflect on his godless.
Why is it any different?
No, because he's doing it professionally. Because he does it all the time. He's not. It's an eino oisek b'yeshuva shel oilam. It's not the act. See, there's the point.
He's a
professional gambler. That's what he does. I was just told about such a professional. I'd rather not discuss that right now. I'd rather not answer yes to that question, but yes. But we're not talking about, there may be other shilas. It may be a smachta lokanya. It may be a form of gzela because the other guy didn't have real das to put it. He only had das to win. That's a whole sugya in Meseches Nedorim. But that's not the issue right now. But the issue is, it's the atzas hayetzer. It's the Yetzer Hara's maybe best trick to allow a person who has stumbled to completely disenfranchise himself and to make himself feel that he's worthless and to make himself feel that he is pegeya in the tzelem elikim beyond repair. And that's the trick. That's what he does.
Isn't he right?
What?
Maybe just
no.
Right?
No, he's not right.
I'm respectable.
No. You're still.
I'm a respectable person. Now I disrespected myself.
No. An act of disrespect to you does not mean you're not a respectable person. The act of disrespect, when you use that to interpret that you're not a respectable person, what you're really doing is giving in to the Yetzer Hara's most powerful weapon. Probably the most powerful weapon that he has is you sinner, you're not worthy of any respect. What do you mean? I made a mistake. In fact, you know something? We just learned it this morning. We talked to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, anachlo achoymer, v'ato yitzreinu. You made us. You made choymer. You gave us the body. You gave us the taiva. You gave us the Yetzer Hara. You understand. We try. We're fighting the battle. We're engaged in the Lechemes HaYetzer. In battle, sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. If you're fighting the battle, you have not destroyed or disrespected or undermined your godless as a Tzelem Elikim. The Chofetz Chaim, they once came to the Chofetz Chaim and they told him about, I don't know how they even did such a thing, about a certain Godel that there was something wrong, he did something wrong. So the Chofetz Chaim's answer was, these are the Gedolim of our generation. He didn't say it's not a Godel. These are the Gedolim of our generation. Human beings are human. It's you know, how they say, it's human to err, it's godly to forgive, something like that. I don't know who says that, whether we say that or they say that, so let's not. It's human to make a mistake, but it's to err, but it's godly to forgive. I'm not sure which religion that comes from, so don't quote me.
Why is it so powerful?
What?
The incongruence with my self-respect.
Why? When, because the Yetzer Hara puts it in your face. He says, you...
Why are we so influenced by the incongruence with our self-worth?
Because the Yetzer Hara wants us to be influenced.
No, not...
I mean, the other way, in a positive way.
Yeah.
How? Because
So why does it? Why does it make sense?
I have to live up to a reputation. I have a reputation.
Reputation?
One second, one at a time. What? I have a reputation. I'm created B'Tselem Elokim. One second. I'm created B'Tselem Elokim. I represent Hashem in this world. Everybody looks to me and they know, this is here. There goes B'Tselem Elokim. Imagine that. Imagine if the world, you know, who knows what the animal kingdom says. There's a whole Perek Shira what the animal kingdom says. I don't know too much about that. But who cares? The animals say, there goeth a B'Tselem Elokim. Wow! Look at that. And look, this B'Tselem Elokim, he's acting like a behemoth. So what's he any better than we are? So it's very powerful. A person's self-respect.
What is it? What's the chat behind it?
Because I don't want to defile that godless.
Why not?
Believe in the greatness.
If a person feels, I understand. If I have a lot of money, I don't want to lose it. If I have a lot of COVID, I don't want to lose it. That's on a very base level. If I have a lot of godless, I don't want to lose it. I'm so appreciative of it. You know what it means? I am acting like a B'Tselem Elokim.
Are you destroying that godless?
What? You're undermining it.
What you're saying right now makes a lot of sense, but has nothing to do with reputation. It's just, I adore the godless part, and I want to be
Okay, that's true. And reputation is a second thing. There's two things. There's also reputation. Also, I represent Hashem. That's maybe a higher level. Maybe it's a different level. But you're right. But certainly, in terms of validation, a person feels good about himself. So now, when I do something contrary to that godless that I have, I feel bad about myself. But the point that was made over here, which I think is very important, is don't let that say, no, I'm no longer a B'Tselem Elokim. Oh, now I'm a behemoth. If now you're a behemoth, you'll act the rest of your life like a behemoth. That's the trick. That's what the Yetzer Hara wants. Anyway, let me. Well, it's not true. A person who sins is not a behemoth.
He's not godless.
Yes, it's not true.
So then he has godless now. He's not godless.
He has godless. Listen,
he has it. Doesn't acquire.
I must refer again to something that you've heard many times. Some of you have heard many times. The Medrash at the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh compares the Klal Yisrael to an olive. And now I can say, come into my office and the picture hangs there as of the last week or two. The Klal Yisrael compared to an olive. An olive has the most precious oil inside. It's the most precious, it's the healthiest, it's the best, it's everything. But it's the hardest to get out. It has to be banged and squeezed and everything. So too Klal Yisrael. There's godless inside each and every Jew, but sometimes Klal Yisrael has to go through great difficulty in order to bring forth that godless. Somebody was very inspired at this drosha, and he painted a portrait. The portrait was somebody with a black beard, that was many years ago, and a smile that still, Baruch Hashem, remains the same, and a talus over my head, covering my eyes, with what I guess looked like an olive, squeezing oil out of the olive. And that was symbolic of the effort to get the best out of people. You know, squeeze the oil out of the olive. So, and squeezing. And you got to squeeze sometimes. You got to squeeze hard and firm and consistently and not give up squeezing because it's there. The oil is there. The most precious oil is there. Sometimes it's deeper. Sometimes it's harder. Sometimes it's, I don't know what, intertwined more. Got to get out. Wait a second. Wait, let me finish my story.
Let me finish my story.
So anyway, so somebody walked into the office. And it was hanging there, this big portrait. I just got a little version there. So they're saying, why are your eyes covered with the talus? So I didn't know what the artist had in mind. But I said, I think the pshat is like this. If you want to conceive the inner godless, you have to close your eyes. Don't look at what it looks like on the surface. Don't pay attention to what it sounds like on the surface. Don't pay attention to what it even does on the surface. Close your eyes. And cover them with the talus so you can't possibly peek. And just squeeze. And we have to keep to that. We have to realize it's there. And even if on the surface it seems so remote and, oh, this one, well, maybe when they stood online for olive oil, they ran out of olive oil when his turn came. You know what I mean? But no such thing. Everybody has it. The godless is there. Chazal tells us we're created B'Tselem Elokim, and we are also Borim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem, and there's a Musag of a Ben Torah as well, and all of these things are the ultimate concept. And the ultimate reality, And we just have to be aware of it. And when we slip, but we shouldn't let ourselves just go down the slope, the slippery slope, but rather catch ourselves by the godless ha'odom, catch ourselves by the bonim atem la'shem alekechem, catch ourselves by the B'nai Torah title that we have, and pull ourselves up. Okay, I would like now, for a moment...
It doesn't sound like you were saying the same thing as what you were saying before.
There's many levels here, but
Is Rebbe saying be excited about the potential?
But you know what the potential is? Godliness. You know what potential is? This special. Imagine. Listen, people. One second. You're born into a family. Okay, you're born into a family. Fine. Now it's time to get married. I want to be considered, I won't be considered a son, so at least I'll be considered a son-in-law to this great giant. Wow, I can't be a son, it's too late for that, but I could be his son-in-law. Wow. Bonim atem la'shem alekechem. Think it, dehear it, realize it. That sense of privilege can inspire, can evoke such a sense of excitement and passion